Heavenly Father, I ask now that the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of all of our hearts this evening would be found pleasing and acceptable in your sight through our rock and redeemer, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. If you are a young groom or bride at the altar and you're gazing into your almost spouse's eyes and you hear this text being read at your wedding, as it sometimes is, it is absolutely natural to be tempted for a moment, at least, to assume that Paul is speaking directly to you. That 2,000 years ago, in his infinite wisdom, the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul. He gave him a special vision of your wedding. Because, of course, your wedding is the best wedding thus far in human history. And you begin to imagine Paul was inspired to write these words about the love you have for your spouse or the love they have for you. The only trouble with this kind of ecstatic vision is that you'll discover within a few months or a few weeks or a few days that the love that exists between you and your spouse, however rich and satisfying it is, does not in fact bear all things. It does not in fact believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. Indeed, sometimes all it takes to throw your love off track is a short-tempered word, a look on the face, a misunderstanding, a petty offense. And even more deeply than that, and more terribly, you will also discover one day that it is not true that your love never ends. It's embedded right there in the vows themselves, though it's the last thing we want to think about on our wedding day. We say to our spouse on that day that we vow to love them until death does us part. With those words, we acknowledge that our love may last at best, if we're humble and lucky and forgiving, 5 or 6 or 7 decades maybe before it ends. Until death do us part means that there will be a parting. There will be an ending that our love will not endure forever. And this is true, of course, for all human loves. It's true for fathers and mothers with their children. It's true for sons and daughters with their parents. It's true for brothers and sisters with each other. It's true for friends and for neighbors. We love, yes, and sometimes we manage even to love well, but still we fail one another. Still we betray one another. And ultimately we still die. So given all of this, what does the Apostle John mean when he writes and says that Jesus, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Jesus loved them to the end, John says. To the end of what? To the end of himself? To the end of his strength, to the end of his life, to the end of time? Yes. 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 All that and more, as Jesus begins to show the end of his love by kneeling before his disciples with a basin and a towel, as Jesus shares with his disciples his body and blood in the bread and wine, as Jesus teaches his disciples that night the mysteries of the kingdom before he leaves them, as Jesus then leads his disciples to the garden where he knows he will go on from them alone to the cross. He loved them to the end, John says. And with those and those prophetic words, of course, find their most immediate fulfillment when dying on the cross, just before he gives up his spirit to the Father, Jesus cries out in victory in John's gospel and says, It is finished. It is at an end. This dramatic, majestic moment, this singular act of sacrificial passion, this faithful and innocent suffering was surely, if ever there was, a worthy end, a worthy fulfillment of love. But that's not all. As the disciples would discover, huddled behind locked and barred doors, somehow, inexplicably, not even the cross, not even death was the end of Jesus' love for them. No, when John said that Jesus loved his own to the end, he meant an ending that went beyond death, an ending further than any love had ever gone before. The last verse of the Gospel of John is perhaps my favorite. This is how John closes his story of Jesus' life. It's so expansive. John has been telling the story of Jesus' life and death and resurrection, and he concludes by saying, "Now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." There was once a time when I thought that this final parting comment from the Apostle John was an obvious example of hyperbole, an example of exaggerated language for dramatic effect, but I don't think that's the case anymore as I've thought more about it. No, I think John is in earnest here when he says the world itself could not contain the books that would be written of Jesus and of the things that he would do in his love without end. Because the world itself, however large it is actually finite. It is theoretically possible, if you had a large enough printing press and enough paper, to fill the world with books. You could measure out the borders of the world. You could do the math and figure out exactly how many books it would take to fill it. It would be a lot of books, yes, but still, inevitably, the number of books at some point would come to an end. You'd run out of space. But that is not true of Jesus and of his love and of his works. John tells us that having loved his own who were in the world, Jesus loved them to the end. I think when John says that Jesus loved them to the end, he was speaking of a reality that would be more fully fleshed out in the words of the Apostle Paul, who wrote in his epistle in the 13th chapter to the Corinthians, not about love as a concept, not about love as an abstract principle, but love in a person, a man who for the sake of love had died and then conquered death itself. What Paul means in 1 Corinthians 13 is this: Jesus' love bears all things. Jesus' love believes all things. Jesus' love hopes all things. Jesus' love endures all things. Jesus' love never ends. The world could not hold the books that would be written of the love of Jesus for this simple reason. Jesus loves his own to the end, and his love never ends. It goes on and on forever. Even on the day when our present existence in this world will come to an end, when death itself will be defeated in the return of our Lord, when the dead will rise and the new creation is here, Jesus' love for his own, for his people, Jesus' love for you personally, for me personally, his love then will not end, not even then. No, the love of Jesus will go on and on before us, stretching out farther than we can see, into eternity itself. And every time we eat this meal that we eat together tonight, this sacramental meal, every time we take the bread and the wine and eat and drink and sing together, just as Jesus did that night so long ago with his disciples, when he began to love them to the end, every time we do that, when we do it this evening, we are dwelling in that love that has not ended. The same love that sustained them sustains us. The same love that forgave them forgives us. The same love that gave them his very body and blood gives us the same. And so it will continue into eternity itself. It will never end. It is the love of Jesus, friend, that upholds you each and every day. It is the love of Jesus that continually forgives your sins day after day, day after day. It is the love of Jesus that grants you the grace that you need to endure whatever it is he is calling you to do as you endure on the way of the cross, as you follow after him. And one day, I promise you this is true, it will be his love, that will raise your body from the grave and set you free to fully, fully, completely enjoy his love in a way that we only get glimpses of in this life, glimpses like this evening that we share together, this table that we participate in. Friends, the world itself is not large enough to hold all the books that would be written of the love of Jesus Christ our Lord, for his love continues even tonight, even here. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love of your Son, our Lord. We pray tonight that we would dwell in that love, that his love indeed would set us free to love one another, to confess our sins and forgive one another, to follow in the way of the cross. We thank you for these things, Father, in Christ's name. Amen.